All right. Just a little bit, as we have the message, it might be a little long this morning, so just sit in there. I'm going to have the children, each child, certain children have a letter, right? Okay, the letters represent each point of the message. I don't want you to get too crazy. There is 7 points to the message, but I'm going to move through those pretty quick. So there is two T's in the message. So we need a first T and a second T. Who has T's? Okay, Joel, you will be the first T. When I tell you to come up, you're going to put your letter right here. Okay, because we read right to left or left to right. Depends if you're Hebrew or not. And depends on the kid. All right, but we're going to go left to right. That's the normal way. All right, so you're going to put your T here, and then I'm going to call for the next letter for the next point. You'll put it right beside it. All right, so who has the second T? Okay, that'll be the second T, so you have to wait. And then we have two C's. All right, Emily, you'll be the first C when I call the first C, and whoever has the second C will be the next C. Okay, so you can help out parents there a little bit as we spell that out. Now, our first three sessions, we heard from the men of the church concerning their unique position and their work environment. These sessions, I thought of, to be very practical. That's very easy to share, begin to share something that you're familiar with every day. But we know that the practical always leads and has application to the spiritual, and I've seen that, and automatically the men began to bring in the spiritual aspects of that as well. Now, the first group were independent contractors or business owners. Another group was were a part of a company, yet due to the nature of their work, they served as an independent role, either from home or traveling for service work for their company. The final group were men who are in direct contact with other co-workers on a daily basis. Perhaps the more common type of work, although for our church it's kind of unique. We've got a pretty even share of all those. So hopefully you were given some practical insights for your families as you consider your choices for work. Perhaps direction for your children as they head in the direction of a working career. And hopefully you understand how we all, no matter what the position in life, or spiritual or physical, that success and fulfillment in life comes through our service to others and working together as a team. Also, we see that the three groups of workers follow a pattern of work types in the church. We've seen the congregation, who are like the ones who work with other co-laborers on a weekly and daily basis. We've seen missionaries who are sent out by a church who are extensions of the church work. They are like remote workers, and also brought out with something interesting I didn't think about, but Patty had mentioned it, and I think I've seen some head nodding with the other ladies, that the mother's work is very similar to the aspects of a missionary's work and some of the difficulties there. And so that might help us to understand them more, help them, and help us to help them. Then we have the ones who are like the independent workers. Yes, they are still connected as a team, but they have to drum up their own work and their schedules. These are like the evangelists out there. And to some extent, the missionaries we support who are not out of our church family are kind of fall into this group as well. Now, a thought I had this weekend was how God represents teamwork. It's just something when I got here that just kind of popped in my mind. You have three entities: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's equality between them all. They are all God. There is, though, authority differences. You see a stepping of authority differences of what one, the Spirit speaks about Christ, Christ speaks about God. But they also have operational differences. Yet you find perfect unity with them all. I hope that through these sessions we receive a better understanding of how we can work better as a team. The message I will preach this morning will be focused on the how of working together as a church. Our sessions brought out many of the things that define what makes for good teamwork. It also brought out many things that tear down teamwork, things that cause disunity and limit the performance of a business, or in many cases, destroy it. These same things apply to the operation of a church. The title for the message today is one word. It's tactics. Tactics. Let's pray. Father, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to our heart and lives today. May we be obedient to it. May we do something maybe we haven't done before. May this be a special time and a special place whereby we hear your word and we obey it. And I just ask that again that you just speak to each heart, each family today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tactics. The definition I looked up for tactics. The science and art of disposing forces in order for battle and performing evolutions. Now, I want to read that again. The science and art of disposing forces in order for battle and performing evolutions. Now, there's a couple of key words in this definition. One was the word battle. Battle. It is the what. It is the directive. It is the mission. Now, we will get that message, I believe, Brother Tim Reeder, later this afternoon, will bring the last lesson in our Sunday evening Bible study book. And you'll notice that it is the external part of the mission. The other word in that word tactics, in that definition of tactics, is the word evolution. Now, we always, evolution, evolution's not a bad word in itself. Evolution speaks to growth. It's an internal mission. If you think about it, the Lord's directive to the church was an external mission and an internal mission. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, last year at Family Camp, we spoke much about the aspects of growing, didn't we? Seeing the nature of it in the dispensations of time. We just seen time is like a growth. We did this so we could understand the whole of the Bible so we may properly interpret the individual doctrines of the Bible. It's really important that they fit together as a whole. We used a simple 9-piece puzzle as an example of the work it takes to properly align everything to make the whole correct. Who still has their puzzle? Okay. You know, those puzzles get lost pretty quick because they're pretty aggravating, aren't they? But you know, the Bible's kind of like that. It is very simple in one way, but you know, we have a lot of teachings that take and, you know, almost make everything fit right, but it's totally wrong because it doesn't fit the whole. And it's a job to do that, to see that as a whole. Brother Mike Reeder is a special gift to the church. He has a lot of wisdom and teaching and training behind him that will help you to understand the Bible really well. Now, we also brought out a personal challenge to grow in the Lord. 2 Peter 3:18 we use, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, I'll be preaching on this similar theme, but within a different context, the context of growing as a team of believers as a church. Our text verse for Family Camp this year is Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I'll be giving you 7 points necessary to achieve this goal. Each point will start with each of the letters of tactics. Now, I'm not going to belabor the points, but I'll move through them very quickly. So I'd like the first T to come up and put their T up here. All right, and this is really, it is a priority here. T stands for truth. Truth. You think about it. You know, the Bible tells us that when you seek wisdom, it says wisdom from above is first. I think it's James 3:17. Very first, so there's a priority. It says pure. It has to be pure. That's truth. That's what it's talking about. You can't, you know, I've heard somebody say it was on a TV show, and it was kind of funny, and one fella, father, was having a hard time saying, you know, I'm going to have to tell my son this certain thing about this situation, and it's not going to be good. And he said, tell him a lie. And it's kind of funny. But, you know, you can't do that. You got to deal with the truth. What is truth? That can depend on who you ask, isn't it? You probably got about 100 different definitions at your work of what truth is. And Andy, you've seen it before. And it doesn't matter. They can claim the Bible, and yet they can say a certain thing. And there, I mean, it is directly in the Bible, and they refuse to agree with it. So it depends. So as a church, this church believes the Bible to be the absolute truth. The Word of God. Let's see what the Bible says about it. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Says, thy word is truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Revelation 19:11. Exciting. The end times. Man, I'll tell you what. We're going to see Jesus one day. It's going to be amazing. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. In case you don't think this is Jesus Christ, it definitely is. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus is the Word of God. He is the truth. There's also something that is a catalyst or the activator for truth. Now, you might get a little twinge here when I say this, but just follow me. Truth in itself is only potential. It is like dynamite, but without the caps to ignite it. It is why unbelievers can't understand it until the Spirit of God convicts them of their need for it, a place where they must choose to believe or reject it. John 4:23 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That power to know and to understand God is in the believer. God has placed His Holy Spirit within you. John 16:13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. All members of the church must be saved and scripturally baptized. Truth can only come by the Holy Spirit, and the only way to have the Holy Spirit is to be saved. And the direct first commandment after salvation is to be baptized, thus becoming a part of that local church. You'll see that combination all the way through. That church that God puts you in becomes your team. Your team. Acts 8:12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 8:13, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Acts 18:8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. In Acts 2:41, the day that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Saved, baptized in the church. We as a church take membership seriously. We have constitution and bylaws. So we understand what we are believing and what's behind that. We really don't want people who come into the church who want membership and in the major tenets of faith and the doctrines disagree with us. They need to go find somewhere else that they can agree. It can't be a team without agreeing with that. Now, it's not that you understand and know everything. Man, when you first get saved, you know very little, man. You just know you trusted Christ. You don't understand a lot of times what all that entails. You begin to learn that over time. So the truth guides who is in the truth. The truth must also lead the church. We ought to already realize that Jesus is the truth. And any church that will function effectively as a team must have Christ as the head of the church. Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And then Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Christ is the head, the chief shepherd of the church. Pastors are called and ordained to be under-shepherds of God's flock. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And this better be the end of my conversation, folks. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't need any new doctrine, new thing. It's Jesus Christ. It always was and will be, and it's consistent. There's also a truth, folks, that you need to have for yourself. The biggest liar we have is ourselves. I've told you this before. And if we want to hurt teamwork in the church, believe the lies about yourself. Don't deal with the truth about yourself. Don't agree with God concerning your sins and your shortcomings, and hesitate on what He is directing you to do. That's how we can destroy teamwork. Truth is the main limiting factor of teamwork. In other words, the most we'll ever be able to do is limited by the amount of truth that we'll be able to receive and accept. Now let's go to the letter A. Who has the letter A? Truth was a big one here, so letter A, come on, letter A, letter A, letter A. All right. We need to put that one right here. Make sure we, there we go. The letter A. The letter A stands for appreciation. The Bible uses the word edification. It means to build up. Romans 15:2 says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. In other words, to build him up. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Listen to this, folks. And things wherewith one may edify another. 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. In other words, you may have to give up something because of the bigger thing to edify or build somebody up. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Strong verses, many verses. I haven't got through all the verses. An opposite of edification is gossip. Gossip can be lies, or it can be truth, but the root of gossip is in the intent. The intent of gossip is not to build up, it is to tear down. God condemns it. 2 Corinthians 12:19. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edify. The root was to build up, even though they had to say some hard things. For I fear lest when I come, I shall find you such as I not, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddleth not with him that flattereth with his lips. A talebearer revealeth secrets, Proverbs 11:13, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Think about it. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Folks, there are faithful church members. I've seen faithful church members who, I will tell you, are gossips. And they tear down the work of God. Busybodies who seem to use their time finding out about everything that is happening in other people's lives, whose goals seem to be the hub, and spread it all around. It was teleperson in the old days. It moved to telegraph that went to telephone, and now it's telling on social media. I'm talking about church people. I don't even have to go outside church, and that's what people outside the church do. We expect that. But it can be in the church. Busybodies. Why do they have time to do all that? They need something positive to do, is what I think. But you know what? Here's what we need. We need to be spending more time in private, secret prayer for people, even those who are gossips. We just need to be praying for them. There's power in prayer. That will lead to edification and resolve issues. But we tend to use our lips rather than our heart in prayer. The letter C. Who has the letter C? Come on, bring the letter C up here. First C. Here comes the first C, M-O-M-O-C, M-O-M-O-L-E. I should give you an E. Letter C stands for commitment. Commitment. We need committed people in the church. Committed to serve God and their brethren. Committed to serve together. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It is a terrible when you are trying to get something done or plan something and you can't get a commitment. However, there are people that I have who I can count on when they say they will do it or be there. You can count on them. Now, I wrote this before our sessions, but I'm sure this is one of the things that the men would understand that kills teamwork. It's uncommitted people. And in a sort of way, they've mentioned some of that in different aspects. People who are late, don't show up, aren't studied up. Man, it's hard to work alongside that. Why do people not commit to things? Because it's not that important to them. That's the fact. Others are not as important to them. Church is not important to them. They don't commit or commit and don't show. Well, maybe because they're not disciplined or are more interested in their self-interest than the interests of others. You know, I don't know. I might lose being able to do this for me. You know, it comes down to me instead of others. We're about to serve others, folks. But I'll tell you what, you start doing for you, it stinks. It stinks to others and it'll stink to you. Are you a person of commitment? The early church was marked by commitment. You read in the strength of that church, they were committed to one another, even to the point where they had all things together in common. They went house to house. They ate bread. They were committed. It was a great commitment. Now, I told you, you start looking at churches today, these are all the same points that we're losing. You don't have to go to these big churches and be committed at all. They let you have just a little seat there. You don't have to know anybody. Just come in, go out. And you know what? Doesn't hurt anything. Even if you don't give anything, they still got to eat the whole building. So it doesn't cost them anything. But maybe you might throw $20 in there. You know, that's $20 plus. Just get more of them. But they're not preaching commitment. That's a hard thing. The next letter is T. And T stands for T. Who's got that T? Here comes that T. Are we spelling it correctly, folks? Check them out. They doing a good job? Looks like they're doing a good job. T stands for team. You've heard the phrase, there is no I in team. I was watching a movie a while ago, and one of the characters made the statement to another character that character responded with also. He said, you know, there's no you in team either. I thought that was pretty funny. You know, I chuckled at that. But seriously speaking, individualism is a hindrance. And I heard it in the guy's message. It's a hindrance in striving together in unity. The attitude is to compartmentalize things, make things black and white. That is their job and this is my job. That sounds right. That's really individualism. You know, we have a schedule and we were doing certain things, but what I found is other people helped out and things that really weren't their job this week. But that's what a team is about. It's not about black and white things. You know, it's kind of a cat mentality. Who has cats here? Cats, okay. I'm going to speak bad about cats, so just be warned. If you haven't figured out by now, I don't like cats in general. I have an appreciation for God's creation in cats and how they're designed. And there's certain things about them. But that's about as far as it goes. You know, cats bring the mouth to get the milk, folks. Cats rub up against you and purr to smooth you. That's what they're doing. They are independent creatures. They're their own rulers. To me, they represent selfishness. When trouble comes to the team, where are the cats? They are gone. Ever hear of a guard cat? A dog represents loyalty. When trouble comes, they fight for their master, even to their own death. A dog is more about true love, compassion, and belonging. You should feed your dog. Don't feed your cat, unless you want more mice. Because the mice will bring you, or the cats will bring the mice, so that they get something back. That's just how they work. The devil is a roaring lion, seeking about whom he may devour. Now the lion of the tribe of Judah will come one day, Jesus Christ. And that's a whole different story. But concerning church, we should never have an attitude of individualism. Everything we do needs to be connected together as a unit. Philippians 1:27, "Oh, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." You know, it bothers me to see individualism in the church. I'll give you an example. Something I really have a hard time with. Designated offerings. That can be just fine if we're doing something and you're giving above and beyond to give to that particular work. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But when you say, "Oh, I'll stop my giving over here and give a part of it toward this specific thing," then you're starting to be in charge. You're starting to act as an individual. I've seen where people give to particular missionaries and they make it known. And they become that missionary's pet. And it's no more the church now, it's that people that they recognize. I have a fella at work, Shane Jones, and he is a very personable person. I really like him. I enjoy him. He's a good man. We have a customer who told us, if Shane doesn't install this machine, they won't buy it. Now, I tell you, we have more qualified people, better people than Shane. I know Shane. Shane's good, but we even have better. So what are they? That really bothered me. I asked Shane, let me ask you, is that really true? Would they? He said, they won't buy it. Why? You know what? Shane's a gun enthusiast. He makes things. He brings a little guns to people and stuff and makes friends and things. But guess what? Now he's the individual, not our company that they're looking for. Folks, it's our church that needs to get the glory. None of us will get the personal glory. They'll say, what a church that is. Another one that's kind of obscure but follows the same line, where I'll see church members who worship their pastor. Now, pastors should be regarded very highly for their work's sake. But sometimes leaders are put way higher than they should be, and you get pastor's pets. The scripture shows this very thing happening. 1 Corinthians 3:3, "For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and division. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos?" And in one scripture, it even brings out Christ. You think, well, that would. But ministers by whom you believe. Tools. A tool. That's it. Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You know what a pastor needs? You know what I need from you is I need your love. You see, love looks over a lot of shortcomings and sees the heart and sees the work and looks over a lot of things. The same thing you need from me. You need my love. You need my care. You need to know that no matter what you do, I'm for you, I'm behind you, and I'll try my best to help you. It used to be where sports teams, okay, whoever likes sports, I know Andy will account for this, and some of you who have been in the past known sports teams. It used to be teams had an identity. But now if you ask who's on the team, it's hard to tell. You got this guy coming over here, this guy going over there. It's becoming a lot of individualism. And it's after money is what brings people around. It's a new identity for every team every year. Used to be you knew who all the players were on that team, you know? They stuck around. And then we have prima donnas who seem to come into these and think they are the king. LeBron James, the king. Come on. Is he a team player? Is he it? Church is a place of connection. It's a single body of many parts fitted together for a single person to give glory to God. He's the only one who deserves it. Jesus Christ. May we lift him up. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that work in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I'll just tell you, you know, you'll see certain really neat works that at, like at Christmas time, there was Grant's Farm. But it was all set on one guy. And it died with him. This church doesn't need to rest on anybody. This church needs to be something that is based on truth, that is based on right, that's giving glory to God. It'll continue on. Now the next letter is I, which stands for integrity. Who's got the I? Come on, Miss Lauren. Come on down. Sorry. She didn't have her iced coffee this morning. She did have her iced coffee this morning. All right. Here is the I, which stands for integrity. Integrity. Sorry to say, but I've seen in the church where the integrity of some is bad. Basically, it's a simple or selfish motivated people who can't be trusted, extra guards of protection around them, because nobody wants to really deal with them. There are insurance, I don't know if you knew this, but there are insurance and finance people who are told to join churches for the sole purpose of making contacts, and they're good at it. And if they're a people person, they know how to dress, they know how to talk, they know how to smile, they know how to kiss your baby, and then show you their insurance policies and sell you stuff. They might be part of several churches. That's not integrity. We all struggle with sin in our life, folks. But we all should be striving to get it out. That's a part of church. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a place whereby we strive together in this fight against sin. We're together in this sometimes. It says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's also a place where you need to strive privately against your sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then there's a place where we must deal with it corporately. And like I said, you're seeing churches who are going away from these things. It says Matthew 18:15, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou shalt gain thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Man, just to talk about mercy here, you know. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Now we're always to pray, to want that person to come back, but not until that integrity is taken care of. We can't afford to have chosen people of non-integrity in the church. Next letter is C, which stands for, here's our big word this week, communication. Now I'm going to stay on the path of personal communication with this, but lest I fall on the most important part of communication, I don't want to miss mentioning our prayer life with God and how important that needs to be. But moving on to personal communications, businesses survive on communication. Did you know that? You know it. I heard it from you all. Whether it be advertising or whether it be internal communication, communication is a two-way street. It must be properly conveyed. And I think I heard it mentioned where sometimes it's not properly received. We need to be resolved to listen and to communicate properly to those we serve, both internally and externally, to understand the requirements for success. Businesses, marriages, churches all need to work on communicating properly. And I'll tell you one other thing that I heard that crossed my mind is we'll never completely get there. It's a continual work. We need to continually work at communicating. Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Philippians 4:14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. 1 Timothy 6:18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. How you communicate is really important. I have a problem with it. Anybody get tired and grumpy and grouchy? Hey, anybody get tired, grumpy, and grouchy? Okay, we're being honest now. All right. You know, it says, let your speech be always. Oh, man, this sucks. Hey, if you think you're getting out of this, I got you on this. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. 2 Peter 1:7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. The opposite of kindness is harshness. Ever have a boss become demeaning or harsh in his communication with you? Maybe making fun of you in the way he goes about it. That's hurtful. I mean, the truth is hard enough. But when they treat you like you're junk, that's really bad. Does that make you respect him and be more of a team player? Now let's move to, are we on the last letter? We missed the C. Okay, that was communication. And come on with your C, girl. All right. We want to end the sea with the sea. Thank you, Anna. All right, now we're going to move to the last letter, S. Who has the S? Come on and bring it up. This letter stands for students. Students. Student, being a student is not a destination. It's a standing, or it's a way of life. I heard Nick was the last one to speak, so really I remember a lot of like what he was saying. You know, we never know it all. We're always students. But some people don't think that way. Some people just want to drop it off and I know enough. We're always to be a student. It's a never-ending journey. We are commanded to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let me tell you something about, there's two ends of it. You know, you can be the guy who, the know-it-all, and is lifting himself up, and you're destroying the person, the student below you. Because you're way over the top of them, and not necessarily that you mean to, but I'm just more talking about an attitude because you're just trying to let everybody know what you know. And that can kind of destroy somebody down. Not to be pointing you out, Mom. But I guess if I can point anybody out, she's more forgiving to me than anybody. So. But we need to be careful of that. We're all students. Some of us may know a little more. You know, Mike Reeder, he's not the pastor, but there's a lot he knows more than I do. I'm thankful for him. He's invested a lot more in it. He has a lot to share. But don't get discouraged because somebody's up here. We're going to talk about trees, Andy. At church, we have a little tree outside, right? I forget, it's kind of some kind of smoke tree. When it blooms, it kind of looks smoky and stuff, and it sits there. That's a really neat tree there, but it's a small tree. I mean, kids climb on it, makes it good for that. I mean, all sorts of things. It's kind of dying. We might need to take that tree down. Why don't we have a big old one of the big old oaks right there by the church. Would that be a good thing? Is that better? Is an oak better because it's bigger and greater and lasts longer, lives longer? Huh. What's important is that the tree is doing what the tree is designed to do, whether big or small, but it's always growing, always learning. We need to be always learning wherever we're at and try to help others So that they might learn together. Never make people feel like they don't know much. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you're learning a little more. That's it. You're perfect then. You're perfect if you're growing. We need to be a church that's committed. I want this in your hearts, to be excited about teaching the children. Even from the very young age, especially, building blocks of teaching. Remember Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We need to be sensitive to all levels of learning. We need to be stepping stones to learning, not stumbling blocks. We need to have goals, plans in our teaching. We must never give excuses for not growing in the understanding of God's Word. No excuses. We're to be students. Tactics. The science and art of disposing forces in order for battle and performing evolutions. T is for truth, A for appreciation, C commitment, T team, I integrity, C communications, and S students. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you would just consider some of these things. Did the Lord speak to you? What is it that can make you a better team member in life? Sometimes we're just selfish in life. As long as I got my hits, doesn't matter if the team wins or not. Doesn't bother me. I. As long as things are going good for me, who cares what's going on? Are you dealing in truth? Are you really appreciative of one another? Are you committed? Are you a team player? Do you have integrity? There's things in your life you need to do. Do we communicate? Do we communicate properly? And are we willing to be students, continually growing? I think I've just given you what it takes to be Christ-like. Just one more stanza there. Get yourself right with the Lord. You're only hurting yourself, folks. That's one thing you've got to understand. It's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. God has nothing but good for us. Thank you all for coming. The kids settled down a little bit. And I hope that the Lord spoke to your heart, make a change in your life for good. I love you all. And you're my family. And I want to see it into the next generation, folks. This world is going to let you come by that easy. You're going to have to fight. So I just pray for each of you families. Glad you're having all a good time. Pray for the rest of the time here. Enjoy it. Love one another. And may you give glory to God. In Jesus' precious name. And that's fine. You are dismissed. Yes. Lunch on the porch. About what time? About a half an hour or something like that. Time. I mean, I had a big old breakfast. So take your time. So lunch on the porch when you get there. All right, you are dismissed. What's that? Oh. Oh, yeah, I missed it. She's smart.
I'm not going to play without it.